If you have the pages I gave out yesterday, then there's a page called Kuf Lamed Gimel. I'll give you a little bit of background to what this is all about. We're studying the sugya on Daf Mem Amid Beis, and the sugya deals with the question of Bishul B'Shemen, where there's cooking with regard to oil. Do you violate the Melechas Bishul if you cook oil? And the Tanakam in the Braisa holds Shemen Ein Bo Mishum Bishul. But according to Rebbe, there is a problem of Bishul, and that's why Rebbe instructed Rabbi Yitzchak to take it in a Kli Sheni, to warm up the Shemen in a Kli Sheni. And the Gemara says that according to Rebbe, there is Bishul in Shemen, and not only that, moreover, Hefshero Zehu Bishulo. Okay, that's what we learned yesterday. La Halacha L'Maisa, it's very possible that we paskin that's not considered Bishul. In other words, Hefshero is not Bishul. I'm not sure that we paskin like that. We'll take a look in the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, I don't have the Rambam in front of me right this second. Harvey, do you have the Rambam here? Maybe I could borrow it just for a minute. I'll give it right back to you.
I can't remember. Is it
one of the bigger ones, right?
I know it's a big
one. Towards the right there.
Where?
Next
here?
Study over. Yeah, is that a Rambam?
I don't know. You know what? Let me get
okay. Harvey, although we are left alone, optimistically speaking, we should get some pages photographed soon, too.
Yeah. All right, so the Rambam is in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, and I think we've discussed this Rambam more than once. The Rambam establishes that Shemen Ein Bo Mishum Bishul. That's the way the Magen Mishnah understands it. Let me just see if I can quote to you the language of the Magen Mishnah.
Were you talking about Kimid Vashlo?
Right, that was the deek that we had in the Rambam, that maybe Bishul in the case of Shemen is only Dirabon. Fine. So let's go on, because I don't want to hold up on this. We'll find the Magen Mishnah a little bit later. And the reason why there's no Bishul in Shemen would fit very well into the Rambam Shita here, because the Rambam says that Dovah She'enu Tzarech Bishul Klal, if you have something that could be eaten raw, you don't have to cook it. And basically the cooking process doesn't really do much for it, like in the case of Shemen. Therefore, there's no Bishul. Oh, here I found the Magen Mishnah. Sorry, on this Rambam that says Kol Dovah She'ein Tzarech Bishul, the Magen Mishnah writes Poshut Hu V'Nilmad Mimash Nechleku B'Perek Kira Shemen Im Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul Im Lav U'Mikan She Dovah She'ein Tzarech Bishul Ein Bo Bishul. So there's a machlokas whether or not you could have Bishul in Shemen, and the impression you get from the Magen Mishnah is that since Shemen doesn't really need Bishul, therefore it fits in the category of Dovah She'enu Tzarech Bishul, which the Rambam says Yinachayev in Bishul. So that's what we have over here. Now, according to the Man D'Yomer, who says Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul, how do we understand that? So the Rambam in Perek Tes Nehilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph writes the following, that when it comes to Mayim, he says that you're Chayim because you're Mechamim as Hamayim. Okay then? So again, if you have the pages I gave you yesterday, and then we'll get to the page that Ben kindly and compassionately photocopied for today. You're looking on the top of page Kuf Lamed Gimel in the page that I gave out yesterday, and he says the following: Mayim fits under the category. Good morning, Tzvi. How are you? A good erev Chanukah. Okay. He says Mayim comes under the category of Dorim She'enom Tzrichim Bishul. Certainly, you could drink water without cooking it, without boiling it. And yet, nevertheless, the Rambam says that Machamim es haMayim is Chayav. So we see that there's this new category with regard to Mayim that we discussed at great length yesterday, that when you boil water, that's considered Machamim es haMayim. We called it a new branch of Meleches Bishul. And therefore, we don't care in the case of Mayim whether or not it needs Bishul or it doesn't need Bishul. The significance and the impact of the melacha is chimum, being mechamim es hamayim, which means heating up the water. Heating up the water itself is a radical change in the water, and it's so significant that it constitutes a violation of meleches what? Of meleches bishul. And therefore, with regard to Mayim, since the Malach is not Bishul, because then you'd say, well, it doesn't need Bishul, but rather Malach is Chimum, therefore, with regard to Mayim, we call it a significant Malach, Malach Chashuva, it's Malach Es Machsheves, in the fact that you are Mechamim Es HaMayim. And therefore, you could explain, he says, that according to the Mandiyomer, who says that Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishul, he means to say that Shemen is no worse than Mayim. And just like in the case of Mayim, we say that Yochai for being Mechamim es HaMayim, so too in the case of Shemen, Yochai because you're Mechamim es HaShemen. And that's what the Gemara means when it says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Echad Shemen v'Echad Mayim, Yad Soledes Bo Asur, Ein Yad Soledes Bo Mutar. As the Gemara combines Shemen and Mayim in one fell swoop, in one breath, because just like in Shemen, you're going to be Chayev, like in the case of Mayim for Chimum, and you don't have to have some sort of tzorech, meaning there's no precondition that it cannot be eaten without the cooking. That doesn't apply because we're talking about Moleches Chimum. And we spoke yesterday at great length about the Rambam in Perek Chof Beis, Milchus Shabbos Halacha Dalet. All this is according to the Mani Omar that holds Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishul, which means we classify Shemen and equate it with Mayim. And therefore the Mechayim is what, everybody? Help me out here. Mechamim. Can we get that? Mechamim is the key word. Excellent. It's not Mevashel, but rather Mechamim. However, the Tanakhama is of the opinion that Shemen ain't bo mishum bishul. He holds that the chiddush of mechamim was only formulated with regard to mayim, but nothing else other than mayim. So with regard to shemen, since shemen is not like mayim, it doesn't come under the category, that branch of bishul which is called mechamim, therefore shemen comes under the general rules that govern mevashel. And in the case of shemen, since it doesn't need bishul, therefore the bishul is not considered a significant melacha. And that's what we say, that Shemen ain't bo mishum bishul. It could be possible that this man, the Yomer, this Tanakama, who holds that Shemen ain't bo mishum bishul, he's not referring only to Shemen. He's referring to any liquid whatsoever, any mashke. Any mashke, you're not chayef for chimum. The only mashke that you're chayef for chimum on is what? Mayim. Water is very unique, and you're chayef for heating up the water. But at other mashkim, according to the Tanakhama, you're not chayev. And he quotes here, if you have here on the bottom of the right column, in the pages I gave out yesterday, going on to the top of the left column, he says, the ayin the or zorua. Okay, one of the great Chachmei Ashkenaz was the or zorua. And in Hilchos Shabbos Simon Samaf Beis, he paskins in the name of the Riva that yayin ain't bo mishum bishul. This is really interesting. Let's say I heat up wine on Shabbos, and he says that would not constitute a meleches bishul. Just like if I heat up oil, we're not chayav mishum bishul. That's the Tanakhama of Rebbe against Rebbe. And the Or Zoruah says that even if Shemen ain't bo mishum bishul, he says if he cooks wine. Now, when he cooks the wine, I don't know if you know about this. You know, we have what we call kanditon or muscat, you know, different kinds of sweet wine. So what they do is they add sweeteners into the wine. Let's say they add honey, dvash, or sometimes they add other spices, and they cook this all together. I don't know if anybody here in this room is makpid dafka to use dry wine for Kiddush on Shabbos. No? Nobody fits into that category.
No, okay. Not to use.
I'll tell you why you want to use dry wine, because the cooked wines, the sweet wines, by and large, have dvash inside the wine. And the law is that, you know, in Mizbeach, there's a mitzvah called Nisuch Hayayin, libations, and you're not allowed to use wine that has an admixture of dvash in it, what we call kanditon, if you heard that phrase. And the Rambam holds that any yayin that's posel of mizbeach is also posel of kiddush. So if it's invalid for the mizbeach for the nisuch hayayin, then it's invalid for kiddush on Shabbos. And only the dry wines are not cooked. Now, some people don't like the idea of using dry wines, not because of the taste issue, because dry wine is probably an acquired taste. I've been trying to acquire it for many, many years, and I still have not succeeded. But the reason why they don't want to use dry wine is for another problem. Do you know what that problem might be?
It's not mevushal and not mevushal.
Exactly. That if it's not mevushal and the Jew and a non-Jew touches it, then it's awesome. Now, there are certain dinim that apply, if it's open, if it's not open, if he shakes it, he doesn't shake it, whatever it might be. But to avoid all those problems, they would like to prefer the cooked wines. But the cooked wines are sweet wines. So you're in a bind over here. You know, you want to be machmir about stam yenam, but on the other hand, you have to keep in mind the Rambam Shita about Kiddush. You know, so it becomes quite a big mess. Yeah,
so many of the dry wines are now mevushal. They're
right.
Pasteurized.
Right. You have to look and see, you know, exactly the fine print on the thing. So it's not, as Tzvi points out very well, it's not absolute that if you have a dry wine, it's not mevushal. But in any event, he says the following, that when he's mevashel, this on the left column on top there, this, we're moving on to the second line. He says, when you mevashel sayayinim dvash, all the way on the top, right? Because you, Ben, it looks like you're looking on the bottom. Are you looking on the top? Top left.
Okay,
second line. So he says, when you take this wine and you cook it together with dvash and besamim, and you make a mashke out of it, then the Or Zeruah says, you're chayav for bishul when you do this on Shabbos. Because now, the bishul really has a major impact on the wine by changing its taste. And therefore, he's chayav mishum avashal. This is like the case of any foodstuff, that when you cook it, you make a radical change, impacts on the ochel. And so too, if you have a mixture of liquids together with spices, or in this case honey, and you cook it all together with the wine, it becomes a whole different kind of wine. It's now sweet wine, it's not your dry wine. Then you'd be chayev for bishul. But if you just take wine and you heat it up, says the Or Zeruah, that's called mechamim, that's not bishul. And mechamim in this case has to fit into the special category of mayim. But shemen or yayin do not comply, they cannot be subsumed under the law of mayim. So my friends, we're learning something very important here today. Even before we get to the page that we want to plow through today, Mirtz Hashem. What we're learning today is that on the one hand, something that doesn't need to be cooked is not subject to the malach of bishul. And we gave examples from Kivegas Tshuva about fruits and vegetables that can be eaten raw. No bishul. That's the Rambam Shita. On a Daraisa level I'm talking. Forget about the Rabbanan, but on a Daraisa level. And if that be the case, then in order to justify the Melechas Bishul on Mayim, we're going to have to come up with this new category called what? Everybody?
Mechamim.
Mechamim is on Mayim. Now we have Machlokas about Shemen. And basically, the machlokas about shemen is relevant to all liquids other than mayim. Where do we subsume all these liquids, what we call mashkim, do we subsume them under Mayim and they're subject to Bishul through Mechamim? Or do we say, no, they fit into Ochlim and they're not Mayim and therefore you need Bishul, but these liquids don't have to be cooked? And the Ozarua says that in the case of Yayin, just heating up the Yayin, you're not going to be chayef for that because Yayin is not Mayim, and therefore comes under the din of Shara Ochlim. However, says the Ozarua, if you add Dvash and Besamim to the Yayin, and then you cook it, you radically change the nature of the Yayin, and you're chayef for Malachas Bishul. Now in that sense, Yayin becomes Ochlim rather than Mashkin. And I emphasize this because this leads us to the conclusion that the principle that we've mentioned over and over and over again, the Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah, that the Torah prohibits a melacha when it has a certain impact, a certain significance, a chashivus. That's Meleches Machsheves. Normally, you would say that heating up something is not called a chashiv of bishul. In the case of Mayim, heating up the water to the point of boiling, that's considered, even before boiling, when it's yatzo lettuce, that's considered already significant. That's called mechame v'samayim. We have machlokas about shar mashkim, other liquids. That's going to be the machlokas here on daf mem amid beis in our sugya regarding shemen. And the Ozarua applies that machlokas to the case of yayin. There's no difference between shemen and yayin. So according to Tanakhama, that's how we paskin shemen ein bo mishum bishul is yayin, and who adin shar mashkim ein bo mishum bishul. However, here the Ozarua says you have to make a qualifying comment over here. You have to add a qualification that there may be situations in which you take liquids and you cook them, and you radically change them. And what's his example of radically changing the liquids? Yeah. When you take yayin, you add what? Dvash and besamim, honey and spices. And then you chayav mishum bishul, even though, as a general rule, there's no bishul in mashkin. And there, he wants to say that according to one man, the Omer in the Gemara, this is Rebbe, shemen hefshero zeu bishulo, which means that it's not boiling hot, right? And yet you're chayv mishum bishul. And he says the following, I don't understand, we never found that you can be chayv for bishul in something that's less than yad soledes bo. Right? It has to be something that's so hot that your hand would automatically move away from it. Achein lahanal, now we can explain how could it be in shemen yechayv of hefsher, which is certainly less than yad soledes bo. Because in the case of Shemen, according to that man, the Yomer, meaning Rebbe, that Yesh Bishul B'Shemen, it means Mechamim Es HaShemen, because Rebbe subsumes and equates Shemen with Mayim. Therefore, with regard to Mayim, generally speaking, how hot does the water have to get for you to be Chayim for Meleches Mechamim Es HaMayim? It's got to be Yad Soledes Bo. Why? Because that's usually what you do with water. You heat it up to the point where it's hot. It's Yad Soledes Bo. I mean, if you took hot tea, Chas V'Shalom, and you poured it on a baby's belly, you know, it's going to be a burn. So that's how hot you heat your water. But in the case of Shemen, although, again, you're chayav according to Rebbe because of Mechamim Es HaShemen, but Mechamim Es HaShemen doesn't usually mean that you have to heat up the Shemen until it's boiling hot. And therefore, you could have a Mechamim, which is less than Yad Soledes Bo. And that's called Hefshero Zui Bishulo. We paskin halacha that both in the case of Mayim and in the case of Shemen, you're only going to prohibit it if it's Yad Soledes Bo, but if it's less than Yad Soledes Bo, then it's okay. And therefore, even in the case of Shemen, the shear of Chimum for Shemen will be the same identical shear as Mayim. Again, that could be on a Darabonah level because we're now paskin like Mandi Omer, Shemen ain't Bo Bishum Bishul. But if you all like Rebbe, Shemen Yesh Bo Bishum Bishul, it can only be understood if we subsume it under the category of Mayim and apply the principle of Mechamim. But there's a fundamental difference between Mayim and Shemen. In Mayim, generally speaking, I wouldn't consider it a significant action of heating up the water unless it reaches what? Yad Soledes Bo. But in the case of Shemen, it's already considered significant. You don't have to reach the level of Yad Soledes Bo once it reaches the state of Hefshero Zehu bishul.
And a klisheni was okay according to Rebbe.
And according to Rebbe, klisheni is okay. That I don't understand why. And we're going to have to come to some conclusion that, as we discussed at great length yesterday, that there's no such thing as bishul in a klisheni. That's what I want to discuss today.
That's what he wanted out of the shemen, no? To make it not being bishul.
And how did he achieve that goal of making that it's not bishul by putting it into a kli sheni? So he accomplished his goal of warming up the shemen. He did not violate any isur because it was in a kli sheni. And it must be that a kli sheni ain't a mevashel. And that's what we discussed yesterday, that we saw in Yoridea. As far as blia is concerned, it's not considered a blia that we have to worry about. And other dinim of bishul, like bas mecholah for Karban Pesach there, in the universal sense, you must have a kli rishon and not a kli sheni. With regard to Shabbos, we thought that kli sheni is mevashel, but the answer is no. The case of hadacha in Kali Abishol in Daga Ispinin is Irui Kli Rishon, which has the status of Kli Rishon, but yet it has the status of a Kli Rishon, and yet it's not. Just 1 second. Let me get that straight again. I'm sorry, I got a little confused here. 1 minute. What did we conclude yesterday? That we're holding like the Rashbam, and the Rashbam holds that what? That Kli, that Irui Kli Rishon has the status of Kli Sheni, but yet there is Bishul. Why? Because of Kali HaBishul, right? But that's not going to square with what we're saying now, that Bishul is not Shayach in a Kli Sheni. Is therefore going to say my taima. Okay, so we explain that in the case of mayim, he's chayef for being mechamim, right? And then we ask the kasha on Rashi. I'm sorry, I just have to backtrack. Can you bear with me for just hopefully a minute or so? Oh, here it is on page Kuf Lamed that I gave you a few days ago, and that's O space. He says, according to our assumption that klisheni is mufka from bishul, then what do we do with the kash of the Rashba from Aliyach HaYoshan? And his answer was that the Gemara of Hadoch and Aliyach HaYoshan is talking about Iri Kli Rishon. Oh, and now we're holding that Iri Kli Rishon has the status of Kli Rishon. That's where I got off. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Which means, like Rabbi Tam Shita, Umikol Makom, even though it's a Kli Rishon, in Ochlin, we say that Iri Kli Rishon is not enough to be Mavashel. And for generally speaking, in Ochlin, in order to achieve Bishul, we need Shriya. You have to soak it in a Kli Rishon. But in the case of Iri Kli Rishon, even though it has the status of Bishul, because it is a Kli Rishon, Iri Kli Rishon, but nevertheless it's not capable of being Mevashel, and the Halacha of Kdei Klipa is a separate Halacha, that's not real Bishul, but in the case of Daga Ispin, in there, Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashel, because it's Kaliya Bishul, and that's the story. So again, Shmuel, to get back to your point, right now we're holding that Kli Sheni is Mufka from Bishul. Period. Now, therefore, Rebbe says Tol B'Kli Sheni, because there's no Bishul. What about Machamim? So would there be Chimum Mayim in a Kli Sheni? So tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm making a mistake here. I hope I'm not. I'm going out on a limb. I hope I'm not messing up. That according to everything that we've learned until now, that Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel. That's true, even in the case of Mayim. Even in the case of Mayim. So what was the case? What was the case that we had of Mayim? Was hopefully that was a case of a Kli Rishon. Okay, let's see if we can reconstruct that. Let's see if we can reconstruct that whole point over here. And that should be That would be here on page Kuf Lamed Dalid, which you should have there. And he's saying that there's halacha of mechamim. So how does that apply in klisheni? Ah, mi'ata nira. This is the last paragraph on the page Kuf Lamed Dalid. He says mi'ata nira. The chol aklala mavur b'gemara the klisheni revashal o nemer el bilchas bishul. And that's afka bishul avol ein klisheni mufka mechimum. Valkanim Yeshbam Bati Mayim. Oh, that was the Rambam of Ambati Mayim in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Let me see if I find that. No, not Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Sorry, it was Perek Chav Beis. Just find that for you. Perek Chav Beis Halacha Hey. Okay? Now the piece of the puzzle beginning to fit together. Perek, what did I say? Perkov Beis? Hey. Okay, so that we said, Ambati Shal Merchot, which the Magen Mishnah identified as a klisheni, and Ein Nosin La Mayim Tsonin. Shari Mechamim Harbe, we wanted to learn that that's a Doraisa. So here you have Bishal in a klisheni, and the Rav wants to say that's a special halacha of Mayim because Mayim is not Bishal, but rather Mechamim. And that's why you could have a mechamim in a klisheni. But as far as bishul is concerned, there's no bishul in a klisheni. Klisheni is mufka from bishul. I, the sugi of daga isperin, that's iri kli rishon, which has the status of kli rishon. And has the capacity to be mevashel kaliya bishul.
And the shemen in the klisheni.
Oh, shemen. So I'm up to shemen. Wait, before, just that Ben, okay.
Wasn't
you know, I'm right up to shemen, but Ben wanted to say something.
There's one sheet of the ambati or the brecha that is mechubarin, the mayim mechubarin, or that's only with chamei tavaria that it's... And because it's mechubar, it's not klisheni.
Right, that's only by chamei tavaria, okay. As far as I can tell right now. So then it comes out, let's just see. Again, I'm coming to Shemin in just a second. But the Rambam, yeah, Loboy Shir, Bishop Shab, so let us go to Shemin, clearly, Eno Mevashel. Right? And yet the question now is, what about Shemin? So how do we understand Shemin now? If we're saying that Shemin, according to Rebbe, has the same status as what? As Mayim. And why do we assume so? Because Hefshero Zeu Bishulo. So how can you be chai for Hefsher?
Kuf Lamed Hey in the right hand column.
Yeah, which on the top or on the bottom?
Yeah, on the top.
On the top. So he says, Gabi Mayim, but Kli Rishon is because Ram Tam Yishu Mechav Meharbe. Correct, and that's a special din in Mayim because in Mayim Yechai for being Mechamim. Oh, Masha Enkin Legabi Shemin. Mevuor de shemen kol din ochlin olav. Yes, so hakki bichai fef shero. Mechai le mishum chimu. This is a pellet. This is a real problem. Okay, we're gonna have to write a letter to the editor here. I think he says the shemen kol din ochlin. He ain chayov le mishum ele mishum bishul. Yamle didan de mechayv al bishul perkov beis halacha dalid. Let's see, perkov beis halacha dalid is the Rambam says v'chem eniach pach shel shemen kidei sheyafshir. Okay, I'm not sure about that Raman Alokha Dalid, but he says that according to the Raman Alokha Dalid, Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishul. Im came by Bati, tehi kli sheni. Right, that's the Rambam in Halacha Hey there, according to the Magen Mishnah. Zmika de mutal ania kol Yisrael min Rabbanon. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the fact on page Kuf Lamed Gimel that we said according to Rebbe Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishal Hain Mishum Desir De Shemen Lo Gara Mimayim Ukshem Shu Chayev Al Mechamem Esamayim Kachu Chayev Al Chimu Shemen. That's according to Rebbe, but Rebbe says Hefshero Zeu Bishulo. So look on. We're looking at the paragraph Ubazeh on Kuf Lamed Gimel.
That's one of the three things we learned from his
from Rebbe, right? That Shemen Hefshero Zeu Bishulo. So Rav Soloveitchik asks, Lo Matzinu Bishul Makom Bishul Pachos Mishir Yad So Let Us Bo. So he says the answer is because Shemen Chiyuvo Hu Mishul. Shemachamim is Hashemen. If that be the case, then you should be chayev even in a klisheni, because that's what we said about Mayim. Right? So you're chayev achimum in the case of Shemen, like in the case of Mayim, but you don't need Yad So Let Us Bo, and you're chayev even for just Hefsher. Why? Because Hefsher is enough for a Torah's Mechamem Es HaShemen. Now wait a second, we just finished saying that in Klisheni there is Chimum of Mayim, so why does Rebbe say Tol B'Klisheni? That's where I lost it. Now we just take a minute of my time here just to write this question up, because if you guys can't answer for me, then I don't know the answer either. I'm writing Lefi Zeh Kosher Amai Omar Rebbe Tol B'Klisheni V'Hare Yesh Chimum B'Klisheni L'Gabi Mayim B'Kolshkein L'Gabi Shemet. Right? Now, how do we know that there's Bishul Mayim or Chimu Mayim in a Klisheni? So that we have here on page Kuf Lamed Dalet. And this is all an analysis of the Rambam in Perkhov Beis Halacha Hey. Let's just see where he says it. Kashitu my time on.
It's more Machmir according to this.
That's what I'm saying. Now, so why is it that Rebbe says Tol B'Klisheni? He says, my taima, I'm reading here on the left column on Kuf Lamed Daled, my taima mechamim is hamayim chayov, hare mayim einom tzrichim bishul. And he says the answer is that there's a new category called mechamim is hamayim. Okay then, and that he derives from the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Then in the paragraph Me'ata, he says that even though Klisheni Eino Mevashel, that doesn't apply in the case of Chimum. In Cain, in Yesh Bambati, Mayim Shechimu Harbay, for Re'uyim Lechamim, Uchayv Chatas, the Mayim Chimum is sagi v'chimum amzeu bishulam. That was the phrase that I mentioned yesterday, that Rav Soloveitchik coined a new phrase, chimum amzeu bishulam. V'gam b'klisheni is royal chamim bo, and he's talking about bishul doraisa.
Wow.
Abaki, so why not apply
Abaki
that to Shemen?
Supposed to be the only klisheni that's yad so let it go, and the merchatz. A klisheni in the merchatz was supposed to be not yad zoledeko.
One second, I'll be with you in a second. I'm a little distracted.
Problem.
Sorry. Dibra maskil umeyato.
You can call the mechaber.
Yeah. Well, I can't call the mechaber himself, but I can definitely ask Rabbi Orbach, who wrote this up, Amud Kuf Lamed Daled.
I hope you'll appreciate the question.
Yeah, I think there's a stira here between one siman and the other. Let me just go over this one more time, and then Shmuel, you'll tell me what you want to say about this. We'll start backwards. In Siman Mem He, on the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Daled, he comes to the conclusion that despite the fact that Klisheni ain't a mevashel, nevertheless Klisheni is mechamed. And with regard to Mayim, we have this special din that you're chayef for being mechamed is Hamayim. And there are two nafkevitas. Nafkevita one non is either though Mayim is something that ain't no tzarech bishul, which for normally you're not chayef. Here you're chayef. Why? Because it's mechamed. And secondly, even though Klisheni ain't a mevashel, but it is mechamed. Now, let's compare these conclusions to what he says here. This is on Kuf Lamed Gimel, this is Siman Mem Dalet. That according to Rebbe, Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishul means that Shemen has the din of Mayim. And the language here is very clear. Kishem shu chayv al chimum mayim, kachu chayv al chimum shemen. And yet, the same Rebbe who says that you chayv for chimum shemen, and even for hefsher in shemen, which is again a Torah's mechamim in shemen, says tol b'klisheni. But we just finished saying that klisheni in Simon Meme, klisheni is mevashel. In the case of, I mean, that's what we derive from the Rambam. In the case of Mayim, Klisheni is Mevash. So we really have a problem. Okay, so I'm going to write myself a note to speak to Rav Auerbach and see if he can clarify this.
Rav Auerbach was a Talmid of the
No, not at all.
So how did he?
He's married to one of the Rav's outstanding Talmidim, who wrote me a nice letter over here in the inside flap here, and that is Rav Michal Shurkin. Rav Michal Shurkin learned by Rav Soloveitchik for 18 years. He's a Rebbe in Taurus Moshe, if you heard of him. And his daughter is married to Rav Auerbach, who's the Rav of the shul that I davened in Har Nof. I mean, that was a position that I was offered, but at the end I took a position in Chutz Laaretz. I went to what's called Torah Mitzion, if you ever heard of it. So I went to Canada. But in any event, so Rav Auerbach wrote these Sfarim based on Rav Shurkin's notes, and he's very into this, meaning he's holding. I asked him a question a few months ago, and I saw right away he knew what I was talking about. He didn't have a good answer for me, but at least he was holding.
So the Ambati is supposed to be the only klisheni that's Yad Soledis.
I would assume that it's Yad Soledis, but I don't know, does the Magid Mishnah actually spell that out? Let's see his language. He says
very hot.
Yeah, he says it was Kham Harbe, right? What was the language here?
Yeah, that was
right. Shemacham Harbe. So I would assume, yes, that would probably mean Yad Soledis spell. And therefore, when you put the tzonin inside, then you're chayev even in a cliche.
But very hot is very is vague. Yad Soledbo is very specific. Very hot is vague, no?
Right. But again, I think he's assuming that it's Yad Soledbo. Again, Yad Soledbo might mean a little bit less than what I said yesterday, that it's a third degree burn. Maybe I went a little bit too far. Yad Soledbo would be something that in a sensitive, like the child, the baby's abdomen, the skin. I'm not a dermatologist, so we'll have to do the research. But it could already be scalding for a baby's very sensitive skin. For you and I, it might not be so terrible, So for this, I have a book at home, Rav Shimon Einer. Are you familiar with that?
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
Rav Shimon Einer. It's an ancient book, or you can sell it on eBay. It's
ancient.
Yeah, it's like 40 years ago. He talks about Yad Soledbo.
Right?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But I the reason I hesitate is because sometimes he introduces Rav Aaron Kotler also into the picture, and very often there's machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Aaron Kotler. But anyway, Rav Aaron Kotler had this tremendous chumrah on Pesach with regard to deodorants and all sorts of cosmetics, and he says that if it has alcohol, which kind of alcohol? There are two types of alcohol. Anyway, there's one type of alcohol that's theoretically drinkable, but again, it's in a mixture, and you would probably
methylated.
It's called methyl
methylated spirits.
So in any event, so it seems that Rabbi called the read a story about a shipwreck, or maybe a crab. I don't know. Anyway, the people survived by taking their liquid cosmetics, you know, whatever it was, and they put it into fire, and they were able to extract alcohol from it. And they drank the alcohol. So Rabbi Aaron in this says, you got to sell all your cosmetics. Rabbi Moshe never accepted that, I don't think. But anyway, Rabbi Shimon Ida codifies, he records all this stuff there. But I get off on a tangent. I'm just saying that Rabbi Shimon Ida in his book on Shabbos, which I have at home, has a long discussion about Yad Sol Letispo. But I'm assuming that, yeah, when we're talking about here putting water, cold water into a hot bath, and we're saying that Yechayev from being Mechamen, I would assume that's Yad Sol Letispo. The only exception to that rule is Shemen, and that's in the paragraph here on page Kuf Lamed Gimel that we just finished, Dibra Masul Bozeh, that even though Mechamen in Mayim requires Yad Sol Letispo, but Mechamen in Shemen doesn't require Yad Sol Letispo. But then I ask the question, so why did Rebbe say Tol B'Klishen? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to learn through the sugya one more time just to make sure before I bother Rav Auerbach with this.
I think that Shemen, what's the tikkun in Shemen? I mean, theoretically, you could do sihad on cold Shemen. It wouldn't be made ideal, but it's... What's the tikkun?
I don't know enough about sicha to answer your question. We'd have to really research that in Shas, but I think right now we'll accept it as a kind of an axiomatic principle that, you know, warm oil is a whole different entity. It's a significant change. All right, Rabosai. Now, I want to take a look at this page in the Otzer Iyunim, and I think this would be a nice overview. Again, a lot of what we're going to see here is not in line with what we've been saying. You know, Torah is just endless. And he says the following. Again, I'm not going to read every word on the page, but I'm going to try to summarize. If you could follow with your eyes, he writes in the first paragraph that a Kli Rishon is Munach Eitzel Ha'esh. Now, what that means is that the Kli Rishon is not necessarily on top of the fire, but it's in close proximity to the fire, and therefore the contents in the Kli Rishon are being heated by the fire. Kli Sheni, on the other hand, has no contact with the fire at all, because he took the contents of the Kli Rishon, poured it into a Kli Sheni, and he quotes our Gemara to get started, that Kli Sheni Eino Mevasha. And that's what we saw by Rebbe, that Rebbe says, Tol B'Kli Sheni. Fine. Then in the second paragraph, he quotes a Yerushalmi. So let's read through the Yerushalmi. He quotes it by, you know, verbatim. The Yerushalmi records a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yonah. Hakol modim klisheni shu muta. There's no machlokes about a klisheni. And I assume when it says shu muta means there's no problem of bishul, because klisheni is not mevasha. Then he says, ma ben kli rishon, ma ben kli sheni. How do you justify this principle that there's no bishul in a kli sheni? And here we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi says, kan hayad sholetes, kan ein hayad sholetes. So let's underline these words, yad sholetes. Yad sholetes means I have no problem putting my hand inside the contents that's in the kli sheni. In other words, it's not going to in any way cause me to, you know, a natural, immediate jerk, you know, to remove my hand. That's called yad sholetes. And that's true for a kli sheni, according to Rabbi Yossi. V'kan, but here in the case of a kli rishon, ein ayad sholetes. The hand will automatically recoil, and you'll withdraw your hand because it's so hot. So just to summarize, I mean, this is what we have to get into. According to Rabbi Yossi, the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni seems to be reflected in the degree of temperature in the contents in the Kli Sheni. And that's not going to sit well with us, because we had this absolute halacha about Kli Sheni. You know, we weren't willing to put a thermometer into the Kli Sheni and decide whether it's Yad Shel Lettuce Bo or not, or Yad Shel Lettuce Bo.
Right, we saw that thing that Yad Kli Sheni, no matter what, is not Bishul no matter how hard it gets. We saw that.
That's what we said.
Right,
that's the way we've been operating. You know, in Rav Soloveitchik's language, a Kli Sheni is Mufka from Bishul. That doesn't seem to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Let's see if we can fit it into the Shita of Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says, Kan v'kan ein hayad sholetus. Oh, that's a little bit more comfortable, comforting. That in both cases, even in the Kli Sheni, you can't put your hand in. You know, it's gonna burn your hand or scald your hand. And then he says the following. That osu harchek. Now the word harchek, you should underline. That's another key word, a code word. It means the drabana. Whenever you see the word harchek, it means the drabana. So osu harchek l'kli rishon. Now, in other words, he's assuming that a kli rishon is not bishul. We again, it's antithetical to everything we've been saying. He's saying a kli rishon is not capable of bishul, but the drabanan prohibited Kli Rishon in a case of what? In a case of Ein Hayad Sholetes. So it's very, very hot. And it's in a Kli Rishon. That's Osir Bibishol Drabonon. Velo Osu Harchek L'Kli Sheni. But in a Kli Sheni, even though it's Ein Hayad Sholetes, they did not institute a Gzera Drabonon. Now he quotes the Achronim. He tells you to look in the Gra and the Prima Gadim. Those are going to be the key acronym here. And they explain the following. That Yad Sholetes means that I can put my hand in, it's not so boiling hot. And if I touch it, I'm not going to remove my hand. I don't have to remove my hand. I can keep my hand soaking there. And that's called Sholetes. So you can tolerate the heat. Okay. Fine. Now, what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yonah? That's the next paragraph that starts Umizbayer. And he says the following. We're talking about an Isur Drabanan in the case of Ein Yad Sholetes, which means Yad Sholetes Bo. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's Osir, even though it's a cliché. In other words, Rabbi Yossi, said that the reason why Kli Sheni is mutter is because Hayad Sholetes. But Lu Yitzur would be Ein Yad Sholetes, and even in a Kli Sheni, it would be Osir Drabanan. You see, everything changes now by introducing, or shall I say, downgrading the discussion from a Doraisa down to a Drabanan. The whole thing changes, because now we want to know if the Rabbanan are going to institute an Isur with regard to a Kli Sheni in the case of Yad Sholetes Bo, or to use the Yushalmi language of Ein Hayad Sholetes Bo. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, they never made such a gzera, even if it's boiling hot, even if it's Ein Hayad Sholetes Bo in a Kli Sheni. Everybody agrees that we're talking about an Isur Drabbanan. And therefore, if we take a look at Rabbi Yonah, who says also Archaka, we know that we're dealing with the Drabanan. And Rabbi Yossi says against Rabbi Yonah that they made Archaka even in a Kli Sheni if it's Yad Sholetes Bo. And that's Gzera to Kli Risha. Rabbi Yonah never accepted that Gzera. But again, what's missing here from the text, again, if I write a letter to the editor, is that he doesn't talk about the main issue here. And that is what happened to Bishul Doraisin and Kli Rishon. I mean, the whole Gemara assumes that, you know, Kli Rishon, should we make Gzera? Yeah. I mean, Kli Sheni, we don't make Gzera. But Ribono Shel Olam, there's Bishul and Kli Rishon. We always understood that that's Doraisa. So apparently, one of two things. Either our assumption is correct according to the Bavli and not according to the Yishalmi, or alternatively, we made a mistake. We made a big mistake when we assumed that there's Bishul and a Kli Rishon. And it's not necessarily so. It means you could have a Kli Rishon that's Yad Sholetes Bo, and yet it's not Bishul D'Oraisa. Again, that's pretty heavy for me. I don't know. I'm bamboozled by this. I don't know what to say. My mouth drops. Wait, I need Rav Steinemann's approval. What?
Why was it not Bisha?
I don't know, because it's not on top of the fire. That's all I could say. I don't know. Again, Shmuel, whatever I'm telling you is begether dok v'tishkach. Just hear it and forget it, because I'm missing here some piece of the puzzle, and hopefully,
I mean, there's an underlying.
I think I'd like the editor here too.
There's an underlying hanocha, and we're not sure we're understanding.
Yeah, the underlying hanocha seems to contradict everything we've been saying. We were wondering whether there's bishul l'klisheni or not. Then we went back and forth, but a kli rishon rabbanon shalom, for sure there's bishul. Now he's saying no. The whole deal is only derabbanon. That's pretty way out.
So what?
I don't know.
According to that sheet, when would Bishul be direct if it's even before Kleemah?
Only when the fire is going on, the fire is burning underneath the pot.
That's even pre-Kleemishul.
That's pre-Kleemishul. That's called Kleemishul al Gabi Ha'esh. We're dealing with Kleemishul Shehusar Me'ah'esh. It was removed from the fire. Again, this is all very... What I'm telling you is, we say in Hebrew, Biravon Mukbal, you know, with limited liability.
Well, isn't that the derech bishul? If you were on a weekday and you were really cooking, you would put food on a kli on the edge, right?
Shmuel, I applaud the fact that you're giving me chizuk here. I just want to make sure it's right, you know. No, he is. He's giving a logical explanation for what I said, but the question is whether what I said is a bunch of malarkey or it's true. I mean... There's no elu v'elu over here, unless in the machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. I don't know. So this has to be really taken under advisement. You know, I need a week just to focus on this whole issue and figure it out. Hatosvis, now we get out to our Tosvis. Remember, this was the one Tosvis on Memo days that we learned together. So I was very excited that he also focuses and emphasizes this Tosi. He says, Hikshu, Madua Yeshchil, what's the difference between Klirisha Klesheni? If it's Roseach and it's Yatzaletis, but even in a Klesheni, it should be Mavashal. And if it's not Yatzaletis, but then even a Klirisha, it's not Mavashal. He says the following. Vitiruzo. Vizelashono, that's in the next paragraph, Lefisha Kli Rishon. Okay, so you remember that since the Kli Rishon was on top of the fire, the let's say the metal walls of the utensil have become very, very hot, and that heat is going to last for quite a while. And as long as you have the second condition that it's Yad Soletis Bo, then it's Osir. Again, when he says Osir, I don't know what he means. He means Doraisa Drabbonin. I'm not sure. According to everything we've said up here in this paragraph, it seems like it's Drabbonin. Klisheni, on the other hand, even if it's very hot, but you don't have that extra condition, that extra strength that the walls of the Kli are hot and they continue to generate heat. So at the end of this paragraph, after quoting the Tosus, he says, "V'tzarech biur b'divrayim, madua nechshav shaholech u'miskarek." Why do you give the kli sheni the following status? It's in the process of cooling off. What do you mean it's in the process of cooling off? Right now, let's freeze this frame of time. It's yad soletis bo. So who cares? You know, you're putting the food into this kli sheni now, and it's yad soletis bo. So who cares if the process and the arrow is going down, I mean it's cooling off, but right now it's Yad Soletis Bo. And he says that there are two answers, or two approaches to understand Tosfos. One is the Beis Yosef, and the other is the Prima Gadol. So the Beis Yosef writes, now even in the Beis Yosef, it's not 100% clear what he means, that's also going to be an issue, but he wants to say that according to Tosfos, even though right now, at this present moment, when you're putting your food into the kli sheni, it's boiling hot. Nevertheless, we need another koach in order to create bishul. Bishul is our goal. In order to reach that goal, we need a partnership of two elements that work in tandem. Number one, the water is now yad soletis bo. And number two, there's a koach hakli. You might want to underline those two words. Koach hakli. It's a new phrase that we've never seen. Koach hakli. So Bishul needs not just Yad Soletis, but it needs Koach HaKli. So in the case of Kli Rishon, which was on the fire, and the heat is now, you know, penetrated into the walls of the Kli, it's a very hot Kli. Then we have Koach HaKli. So we have koach hakli, that's condition number one. We can check off number two. It's yad sol let us both. That's condition number two. And then we have bishul. Again, I don't know if it's the rice or the rabbanan, don't ask me. But in the case of a kli sheni, you only have what? Yad sol let us both. What are you missing?
Koach
hakli. And therefore it's not mavash. That's the basis. Now again, you know, if I were to show this to Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know what he would say. I don't think he would be on board, to say the least. I'm understating. This koach hakli is something that I think what the Rav would say is that there's a certain halachic Torah, the law sets up a definition of what's bishul. And it's kli rishon, kli sheni. I don't think he would go into all this business about koach hakli and not koach hakli. That sprach is totally foreign to his vocabulary. But I think we could gain some consolation from the Beis Yosef in that the Beis Yosef might be assuming that there's an absolute rule that kli sheni is not mevashel. He calls it because it's lacking koach hakli. But whatever the lingo is, the bottom line is that there's no bishul in a kli sheni. And if you take, again, don't lose the place, keep your finger on Beis, which is Harav Harosh Yosef, that's the Prima Gadim. Okay, same author. But just, if your eye could scan to the left column, the paragraph that starts Omnam, do you see that? And he says the following. He says on the third line, again, I'm asking you to underline this, and you have the photocopy, so you shouldn't have any inhibitions about underlining. He says, oh, on the third line, shekli sheni hu chisaron bifnei atzmo, and on the next line, v'eino mevasha. So he's saying the following, that because eino ome kavayos, because the pot is not going to remain hot as it is in the case of a kli sheni, and the resicha, the heat from the original fire, is already disconnected, so to speak. It's not an active force in the case of a kli sheni. Therefore, it's like it's no longer eino ketoldasar. It's no longer related to the fire. In other words, what makes a kli rishon related to the fire is the fact that you have this koach hakli, meaning that the heat from the fire penetrated and heated successfully the walls of the kli. That you don't have in a kli sheni. So you're lacking the toldasar, meaning you're no longer directly linked up, you know, like the umbilical cord to its mother, right? You're no longer linked up to the R, to the H. And therefore, eino mevashel, and I assume he means eino mevashel means that's it, period. Even though right now it's yad sol let us bo. So that's the way we want to interpret the Beis Yosef. And then, just to make life difficult for us, we have the Prima Gadol, which is back to where I asked you not to lose the place, bottom right number Beis. His book on Shas is called the Rosh Yosef, and his book on Yoreday is called the Prima Gadol, same author, Kosav, Shelo Bechol Kli Amru Sheinu Mevashel. Now we're getting into sticky water.
The
salt water, right? It's really not an absolute rule. And now he's willing to open up the gate, you know, the floodgates, and say there is bishul in a kli sheni. And here's where we get very uncomfortable. I get very nervous about this. This is totally antithetical to everything we've been saying, that a kli sheni is mufka from bishul. He says, "Achen k'shurosech mi'od v'lo niskar mikdei yad soledespo." It's not below yad soledespo. And now it will heat up anything that you put inside of it. Is af klisheni mevasha. Please underline those four words. Af klisheni mevasha kamo klirisha. That's how the Prima Gadol understands Tosus. We say klisheni and mevasha. That was our sugya on daf mem amid beis. That's just a general rule. As a general rule, klisheni is not mevasha, because it's not going to get it, have enough time, you know, with the even though there's a high degree of heat in the kli sheni, but it's not going to last long enough to accomplish bishul in most cases. But eino chinami, kli sheni is capable of bishul if it remains yad sol let us bo for enough a period of time to cook that which you put into it. You put something raw, you know, you put raw meat in this yad, in this cliche that's yad soledes bo, and if it's going to retain its heat long enough, you bet your bottom dollar the meat is going to get cooked. And truth be told, that if you had a situation in Kli Rishon, which is similar to the general case of Kli Sheni, the popular or the majority of cases of Kli Sheni, which means that it's not going to be retained its heat long enough to be Mavashel, if you had that even in a Kli Rishon, then it would not be Bishul. Mipnei Sheshir Yad Soledes Nimna B'Dovra Mispashel V'Lo Dovra HaMavashel. In other words, even though the Dovra HaMavashel right now is Yad Soledes Bo, but it's not going to last long enough to be Mavashel the food that you put into that kli and expose it to that yad soledes bo. No, so now the Prima Gadim has to ask, so what is the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? We're back to Tosfos's mimonashach, because according to the Prima Gadim, you could have bishul in a kli sheni if it's hot enough. According to the Prima Gadim, it's possible that a kli rishon would not be mavashal if the heat is not. So what is the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? Okay, you want to underline this. Now I'm doing something which I haven't done, so this is a historic moment. I hope I won't regret it. I'm going to actually make a line on this Gemara because it's mine. Okay, so this is Shechianu, right? I couldn't stop myself when I saw these four words in the Prima Gadim, which again is antithetical to everything we've discussed. But we have some nechama with the Beis Yosef according to that interpretation. He's ain chiluk b'yisod hadin. It's all totally in the mitzias. In other words, when we differentiate between kli rishon and kli sheni, it's only rov. You know, give me some sort of a assumption that I could deal with, that I could work with, which is true in most situations. And the assumption is that a kli rishon, generally speaking, if it's yad soledes bo, it's going to remain long enough to heat up anything you put into it, any raw meat that you put into it. In the case of a kli sheni, the opposite is true. In most cases, even if it's yad soledes bo, it's not going to last long enough because it's going to cool off. Everything boils down to mitzvahs. And this is totally antithetical to what we've been assuming, and hopefully the Beis Yosef was assuming, in terms of kli sheni eino mavash. Do you see, Rabosai, why I wanted to study this with you? Even though it's upsetting, and I would have been much happier going into Hanukkah, feeling that, because the Rambam says that Hanukkah was established as a day of Simcha. Nobody understands that Rambam, but that's what the Rambam says. And we want to go into Hanukkah b'simcha, but this Prima Gadim is not gonna make me very happy. I'm not a happy camper. But in general, you should know I'm a big fan of the Prima Gadim. So I can't, you know, sometimes you tell me he said so and so, and I couldn't care less. But not when it comes to Prima Gadim, I get, you know, I have Yiras HaKavod. Yeah, Ben?
I just like, I'm going back to what I mentioned earlier, the Chamei Teveri and the Chibur, Maim Chiburim. I'm thinking that as long as the food is Mechaber to the Esh, that brings it pre-Kli Rishon status. And when it's not Mechubar, then it becomes Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni. But as you said, the Rav said earlier, this is now throwing that all out. Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni might actually, Kli Sheni may actually be Bishol when we thought it wasn't.
According to Prima Gadim.
Which is mind-boggling.
Right. And not only that, I'm not sure if the Prima Gadim is dealing with Doraisas or Drabbanas. You know, nothing's crystal clear here. We'd have to go through the Prima Gadim and the Rosh Yosef very carefully and see if we can determine that. The way he presented the first part here of this essay, you get the impression that even Kli Rishon, even if it would be Yad Soledes Bo, is not Bishul Doraisa, because it's right now it's not connected to the Esh. And that's even more mind-boggling than this issue about the possibility, according to Prima Gadim, that you could have Bishul in a Kli Sheni. I never had a doubt about the status of a Kli Rishon in terms of Bishul Doraisa, but now I'm beginning to, you know, get very unshaken, I'm very nervous here. Now, on the left column, number Gimel, he quotes the Chazon Ish. And generally speaking, the Chazon Ish is antithetical to everything that I think about, you know. But here, I might actually have some consolation from the words of the Chazon Ish. And he says the following, that Nokat, because he throws the Arsamech here in too, but Sheklisheni Kayam, Beklisheni Kayam Chisaron, there's a certain deficiency Right, there's a condition that's an element that's missing in a klisheni, but yachsut ha bishul li'or mamish. Everything in bishul always has to come back to or. So in the case of tolas ha'or, tolas ha'esh, which we discussed at great length, that's bishul doraisa, because the fire is now like inside the tolda, inside the metal that was heated up by the fire. But here, how do we set up a connection between the kli and the esh? And he wants to say the following, that the Torah says that for bishul you're only chaya for esh, is ein ze nechshav chamei ha'or ela b'kli rishon shenolad bo hachom mikoach ha'or mamish. In the case of a kli rishon, which was once upon a time on the fire, then the heat in the kli rishon is related to the fire. I don't know what he adds here in Nun Beis, so maybe we'll look at the footnote. He says, "Ach klisheni, eno chom shenolad mamish mina ish." Now, Rabosai, this is a little bit of a brain squeezer, because if I would ask you, why is the klisheni hot? What's your answer, Rabosai?
From the stormonger on the ish.
It's hot from the kli rishon, mm-hmm. which in turn is hot from the eish. So we have what I call a chadgadya here. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do I apply what I call the principle of transmutation? Meaning, do I have a right to say that if A, domino theory creates B, and B creates C, therefore C is related back to A? The Chazanish is assuming that once I have B in the middle, that wedges between A and C, that means if you have the kli rishon in the middle between the eish and the kli sheni, then the klisheni's heat is not related to the esh. It's related to the kli rishon. So it means kli rishon is like esh, but it's not esh itself. And therefore, insofar as it's a subcategory, it's already a secondary principle. Therefore, the klisheni is like to the third degree, and it's not related directly to the esh. And therefore, he says, "Kevan she'ein achom nolad min ha'esh mamish nechshav kipanim chadoshes." Does anybody know where that phrase "panim chadoshes" comes from?
Yes.
Harvey?
Yes. Panim chadoshes told me about suda.
Which suda? Not any suda.
Sheva brachos.
Exactly. So imagine the Chazon Ish, in order to explain klisheni, he's got to stretch his arm out to the laws of Sheva brachos. This is really interesting. You know, I was worried about Hanukkah. He's worried about Sudas Chosav and Kala. And he says the following. He's Achshav Shenishtana Meofen Chimumo. The system by which the klisheni was heated is radically different than the fire, because again, it's so far removed. Lefichach, therefore, it's not a chiyuv bishul, because it's not related to the esh. And it's like panim chadoshes ba'olakan. In the footnote, he says what we saw earlier in the Beis Yosef, that the kli itself helps out in the resichus atavshil shebetocho. So that's pretty interesting that the Chazon Ish here, either consciously or subconsciously, is standing on the shoulders of the Beis Yosef. So I think that this is also a bit of a consolation for us, because I think he's also, the Chazon Ish, operating with the premise, the principle, that there's no bishul in a klisheni, period. So you're going to tell me, the klisheni, as Tosus is yelling and screaming, is hot like the Dickens, you know, it's Yad Soledis Bo, and why can't it cook that which is in it? The answer is, it's not Eish. And it's not even told us Eish. And that's not called bishul. And now, Shmuel, you could add your svara, which really, really reflects the Chazon Ish, that it's not derech bishul. That the derech bishul is not in a klisheni. And the Torah has legal definitions of what constitutes klisheni. And any legal system, la'avdil, is based on certain rules and regulations. That's why we pay a lawyer a lot of money to read the fine print in a contract. Because what he understands in the fine print is not what you and I understand, that there's certain legal rules that have to be, you know, it's like you have a notary public. You know, this. What do I need a notary public for? I got two witnesses signed on a piece of paper. No, it has to be notarized. You know, every legal system. I could have a passport that I misplaced. I went into the consulate. I had a new passport issued, but my old passport looks exactly like it looked a day ago. But all of a sudden I found it. You know, I put it under a pillow and now I found it. Or my kid threw it behind the sofa. Doesn't matter. That passport is completely null and void. you know, every legal system works with its rules and mechanics and regulations. Here, the rule of the Torah is that Kli Sheni is not Bishul, period. Comes along the Prima Gadim and he drives us nuts. And he says, no, could be in certain cases Kli Sheni would be Mavash. Now again, when I understand, I kind of empathize with the Prima Gadim's approach insofar as we have seen more than once the possibility of Bishul in a Kli Sheni. Let's go over the case of Kaliyah Bishul. There the Gemara says with Daga Ispanun that there could be Bishul and Kli Sheni. We have the Rambam in Perkov Beis, which discussed at great length, that cold water into hot water, and the Magen Mishnah identifies that Merchatz as Kli Sheni, and yet Yochai Mishum Bishul. So there is some sort of, you know, in the universe of Halacha, there is some sort of recognition to the power of a Kli Sheni. Obviously you need Yad Soledes, but fine. And that you have. And Tosin is Hava. I mean, it certainly was perplexed by this whole idea of Kli Sheni and Mavash. He says, Mimon of Shav. If it's not Yatzel, let it spo, then let it be a Kli Rishon, it wouldn't be Mavash. And if it is Yatzel, why isn't there Bishul and a Kli Sheni? So Tosin gives this whole answer that the walls of the Kli are Makaros. What good does that do me? Right now it's hot like heck. Yeah, and it's Mavashal. Well, so what? You're telling me what's going to be down the line? So the Prima Gadim evolves this whole theory that, you know, in most cases this way, but in some cases that way, and fundamentally there is Bishul and a Kli Sheni, and therefore we go back to Daga Ispanin, and certainly, you know, you can have this piece of herring and you can heat it up in a Kli Sheni, and it's ready to be served in the finest hotels, and if you take cold water, you can heat it up in boiling hot water, even if it's in a Kli Sheni. I mean, imagine Rabosai, take the, you know, this would dramatize the approach of the Prima Gadim. They have now these mecham mayims, you know, these urns. What do they call them in English? The hot water urns, whatever it is. The water is absolutely boiling. I can't begin to tell you how boiling it is. Now put your cup underneath the spout and watch the vapor. I would not recommend putting your finger into the water, and certainly not allowing your child to put his finger into the water. It's really boiling hot. Comes along the Prima Gadim and says, ha, you're going to joke with me? You're going to tell me that if I put a piece of meat in that thing, it's not going to cook? Who are you fooling? So the Prima Gadim's perspective on this is very much mitziuti, as we saw, and it depends on the reality. And I could probably fool you when I could put two pieces of meat on the table and ask you which one was cooked in a Kli Rishon, which in a Kli Sheni, you won't know the bit of a difference.
Well, that was all discussion of the outcome versus mechanism to get to the outcome, no?
Right. Excellent. And that's what I think Shmuel is yelling about Derech Bishul, and that's what I think the Chazon Ish is yelling about when he says, well, it's disconnected from the Eish, and it's part of Chadosh's Bolakan. This is all a focus on the Maisa. And we require a Maisa Bishul. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to be Mechadish and Kaliyah Bishul in a Kli Sheni, that maybe you could say that there's some kind of idea of a Tikkun, and that's a unique Halacha Melechas. Melechas Machshavas and Melechas Bishul, and he quotes the Rambam that says that if Reuven took it to Kemaychel Ben Josoi and Shimon recooked it and he brought it to Kemaychel, Shimon is going to be chayev according to the Rambam. And now we could add, in the case of Shemen, what a wonderful tikkun, because Hafshero Zeo Bishul. In the case of Mayim, all you need is to be machaming the Mayim, you can do that in a Kli Sheni. And all that fits together in a whole picture, which the Prima Gadim says depends on each case bifnei atzmo. The Rav is not willing to buy into that. He's got this legal regulation, a fundamental absolute principle, the Kli Sheni and Mavashel. No, so you're going to ask me about Kaliyah Bishul? Okay, I'm going to tell you that maybe it was a case of Iri Kli Rishon, which is halachically like a Kli Rishon. Maybe I'll tell you that Melechus Shabbos is different because of Melechus Machsheves. You'll ask me about Sonein, I'm going to create a whole new category called Mechamem Es HaMayim, and it's not Bishul Mayim. And you'll ask me about Hefshero and Shemen, and I'll tell you that maybe even in a Kli Sheni you can accomplish that goal, and all the rest. But the Nekudat HaMotza, you know, the fundamental point of departure here from the Rav's perspective is this absolute rule that applies in universally in Halacha that Kli Sheni is not Mavashel. The Prima Gadim doesn't seem to buy into that. So I both said we'll stop here because I see it's pretty late already and I have a Chumash class soon. What we're up to here is Vehine. Okay, so if somebody could make a note And maybe during Chavrusa time you could make some progress here. On the left column here, the paragraph we're up to is Vehine. And you know, I'm going to be very hopeful that you'll get so excited about this, because it's mamish, an overview, a review of everything we've been given, that you're going to go ahead and decide to photocopy the rest of this article on your own. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but if you get into it and you're excited about it, that's... And with that, I want to just wish everyone a happy Hanukkah. That's it. Then enjoy your latkes and your dreidels and the Maccabees if you like them.
Do we have any shiur in Jerusalem?
I wrote to your wife an email. I don't know if she saw it yet. That until she hears otherwise, I'm going to go as usual. I'm going to continue. So unless you hear otherwise, assume Shear is regular time, regular place.
Okay.
Same back channel.
Yeah. Okay then.